Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. If you feel your theater-going experiences of late have been missing a bit of the campy goodness of the epic space serials of the 1930s, has No Tea Productions got a show for you. In this episode, the company's artistic director and executive producer are on the mic talking about their new show.
Space Captain, Captain of Space.
Take a listen.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, first things first, though, I hate to mess up names. So, can I get names and roles in the show?
Absolutely. So, Lindsay Sproul, and I'm the director and producer.
And Jeff Sproul, I'm the playwright, and I play King Zino.
You have the same last name.
We're married.
Oh.
Yes, that's why.
Yeah. Excellent. So, are you the creative minds behind No Tea as well?
Yep. Yes. Okay. We actually started No Tea in 2006, and it was about 6 months after we started dating. So the company is only a little bit younger than our relationship, actually.
There's a play in that.
Yeah. We had both done theater before. I had directed a little bit in college and was doing some stage managing, and we actually met doing a play. But we were both kind of at this creative impasse where we were not really enjoying doing other people's work as much, and we really felt like we wanted to, you know, we have a lot of talented, amazing friends, and so we kind of formed the company just as a creative outlet for all of us, and then it kind of took on a life of its own, and this is our 10th show.
10th show.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, you needed a creative outlet, decided to create your own work, so why not have Jeff write a sprawling space opera?
Yes. well, I used to write a lot of sketch comedy, and I hadn't written actually a full-length work until like around our fifth show. Something that originally had started off as a sketch, and then it kind of evolved into its own thing. This play called The Artistical Process of Mark and Andy. And it was right about that time that we decided we really wanted to, because we were doing a lot of like evenings of one acts at the time, and we wanted to do more full-length original stuff, because we had a lot of fun with that, and it's great to be able to have a chance to develop a full show like that. And so we've done a couple since then, and now we're pretty much exclusively doing this now. And
we also started a writer's lab that is exclusively like developing brand-new original full-length pieces. We also do readings here and there of shorter works still, but our main focus now really is comedic full-length plays that we are really developing through the Writers' Lab.
You developed a really fun one here. So I just got to see the show, but for folks who haven't seen it, how would you describe the show? Like, what's your selling tagline for Space Captain, Captain of Space?
I would say that discovering oneself is the galaxy's greatest adventure and battle.
As well as saving the Earth from colliding with the moon.
Saving the Earth from being destroyed by a gravity ray that is pushing the moon into the Earth.
Story is ostensibly about Rocky Laser, who is sort of this Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers type hero character. And the whole show is set up like a 1930s serial that used to play before films. So we start with chapter 3, and we find out that this evil king from another planet is causing the moon to crash into Earth. So that sort of sets up the whole play, and it's about Rocky Laser and his comrades on aboard the X-1 rocket ship traveling to Argor, the evil planet, and trying to save the world, basically.
And meeting all sorts of fun, colorful characters along the way, and including you play Zino.
I play, King Zino, who himself is having a little bit of a crisis. I'll just go a little bit into the background of this, because I do love sci-fi, and I like nerdy stuff like that, and I've been getting more interested in that sort of thing in terms of writing. And so the great thing about the old serials is how everything was just action. It was just moving forward, moving the plot. There was no character development or anything. Nobody stopped a second and said, oh my God, isn't this a coincidence that this happened? So I was like, well, I kind of want it would be fun to kind of start it like that, but then actually have the characters sort of deconstruct and start thinking more about their lives and be a little more philosophical with it. And Yeah, so King Zino actually is also having a thing like that, because he's the stock evil king who's trying to destroy the world, and he actually starts to wonder, what am I really getting out of this? And do I really want to do this anymore? You know, and but he kind of think he's sort of stuck in his ways, and he's, as he says, this is what I do. I conquer planets and I destroy planets. So
that's one of my favorite themes in the whole show, is really just about as you're growing older, trying not to be in a rut and trying to sort of break out of the thing that you normally do and your preconceived notions about things, and really try to continue to expand as you as you're getting older. I just loved that theme from the very beginning, and it's my favorite part of the show, really.
As the show moves along, we of course get all sorts of great sci-fi tropes, for everything from Star Wars to the 1930s serials to like just generally like sci-fi everything is kind of thrown in there. What was the development process like to piece that together?
Well, I watched a lot of the old, particularly Flash Gordon. It's probably most based on the 1930s and early 40s Flash Gordon serials with Buster Crabbe. And I was familiar with them anyway, and I started really getting more into them and watching them again, and I just started writing down sort of key elements, like there's got to be a fight against something huge, there's got to be some sort of monster, so we used one of our cats makes an appearance.
We tried both of them, but Fish was the one that was better about staying in front of the green screen.
Yeah, and there was of course obviously there's got to be little, like cheesy space battles, these little plastic things which we made in our apartment, styrofoam actually, and so I went, there was like those elements. I had a rough idea for the story. I knew I wanted to be like this sort of self-discovery kind of thing. That's probably making it sound a little too
but it's still plenty of space action, it's a fun
adventure, yeah, but it's there's a little bit of heart to it in that way. And yes, I wrote down these key elements, and I just, okay, well, where will this naturally fit into the show? And I knew I wanted to start with the space battle, because I thought it would be just a nice, exciting way to go, and I figured it would be really cool to see it actually happen on stage with little miniature miniature ships flying across on sticks.
One of the most fun parts for me was watching that interaction between what we see on the screen and what we see on the stage, because there is also, as you come into the crane, a large white screen for projecting movies, and elements of the show are projected on the screen. So how did you decide which moments would be screen versus stage? How did you develop with now the guy who played Skip was your video guy, right?
He's an independent filmmaker and a film editor and does a lot of his own projects. So we've actually, Jeff has been collaborating with him for a very long time. This is our third multimedia show. So the more we do these, the more we understand sort of how what's happening on the screen can sort of seamlessly work into what's happening on stage. For me, as sort of the director of the show, it's sort of this challenge is to make it seamless and to make sure that the action doesn't sort of halt for big set changes and that kind of thing. So there's a little bit of a logistical problems that we solve throughout the process. But then there's also these, you know, ideas of like making sure that if they're running one way on the screen, they have to be running that way on the stage. So it's kind of keeping a lot in your head. But Jeff actually did a fantastic job of making sure as he was writing it that there's enough of a balance between stage and screen, and that all of the important elements are going to come across in the way that they really should.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was that you said it's kind of solved some logistical problems putting things on the screen, but it didn't feel like it was, oh well, so how do we do a spaceship, just film it. It didn't feel like that. It was like, okay, we're going to see something on the screen, and then we're going to see something on the stage, and they did blend very nicely.
Thank you.
So that was all scripted.
That's great. Good, yeah, it was.
Jeff's like, yes.
It was like a video. In fact, the only thing that we changed is as we got a little further on, is we there were a couple things that I originally did have in video that I was like, well, we'll have to do less filming because that takes up a lot of time. Then it's getting all the people together for that, and it might be fun to actually see this bit happen on stage, and so we did a couple little things, like the little fight right after the cat beast. They run back on stage, and we had that little moment there. So just things like
stuff
that.
Like that. And there's also alien puppets in the show.
The puppets were, you come for the puppets. Those were really impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, Anna Panacea was our puppet maker, and she's really incredible. She's worked with some of the best puppet makers, which I know a lot more about these days. So we wanted to use them on stage a lot. So some of that stuff he had originally written for video, and we moved that to stage because we definitely wanted to sort of showcase them a lot more in the live scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like a hand puppet one for just like reach around. And then there's of course the two full body puppets, which
normally would
fun.
Be controlled by two puppeteers. We've actually used these puppets before.
They were kind of the stars of another show that we did. It was another sci-fi kind of thing that I wrote about a year ago called The Kentucky Goblin Siege, and they were these aliens besieging this. I don't want to get too much into that, obviously. We're done with this show.
But they were more the stars of that show. They play, I think, a supporting role in this one.
And a very fun supporting role. So great work, guys. This was a lot of fun to watch.
Thank you very much.
Lots of laughs in the audience tonight.
To finally hear them. We've been working on this. We've been in development for a year, so it's really to, through the writing and development of the script, and then doing all the filming and everything.
The outline, like casting, and there's a lot of time to shoot.
So it's really nice to finally have an audience that is reacting to it. That was really gratifying tonight.
it got very stressful at times. You're just thinking, is this going to work? And so
it's definitely the most ambitious thing we ever did.
So it's been a great, but now that we're here, it feels great.
Yes.
Congratulations on the success.
Thank you so much.
So what, if folks can learn more about No Tea, it was notproductions.org?
Yes. No.com.
.com.
Yeah, and it's No Tea is in the drink. So it's
N-O-T-E-A. Productions.
I am out of tea. Please refill my
exactly.
tea.
Exactly.
Which anybody who's really ambitious can figure out what that reference is. It's a weird old Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text-based video game.
Yeah, we are really the epitome of nerd theater.
So, y'all should be making a show called Space Captain, Captain of Space.
Yep.
So how much longer can we see the show? We're at the Crane on East 4th Street.
Runs for 3 weeks, now through September 15th. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8, although there is no show the middle Saturday, the 8th.
Okay. Great. Congrats again, y'all. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very
much.
Much appreciated.
Awesome. Many thanks to Lindsay and Jeff for hanging out after the show to chat in the lovely plush red chairs of the Crane. There are two more weekends to catch No Tea Productions' Space Captain, Captain of Space. Performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8 p.m. with no show on Saturday, September 8th. Tickets and more information are available at notproductions.com. And thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please give it a like on Facebook at facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow at GoSeeAShow on Twitter. And rate or give a comment on the show's iTunes page. As always, send any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at GoSeeAShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
Thanks, guys. This is like so much fun.